Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of my good evening. Welcome to Update, where we'll bring you up to speed with what's been happening news-wise today. Quite a lot as it happens. Coming up before 5:30, we now know some work is going to be carried out on the Isle of Man ferry terminal in Liverpool over the next few weeks. What do we know about what needs doing? Also tonight, the UK Chancellor reacts to news that a company linked to Michelle Moan has been ordered to pay back nearly £122 million. The leader of Douglas City Council is urging people to stand to fill a vacant seat. And how is the Villa Gaiety going to deal with people who talk during performances? All that, plus we'll keep an eye on the weather, the traffic and the travel as well. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can text the studio. It's 166 177. We'll start by joining Christian for the latest news headlines. Fastamai, Christian.
Fastamai. The Department of Infrastructure says the Isle of Man ferry terminal in Liverpool is to be upgraded. The facility at Prince's Half Tide Dock opened its doors in June last year and is estimated to have cost between £70 and £75 million. PPE Medpro, the company linked to Baroness Michelle Moan and her husband Doug Barrowman, has been ordered to repay £122 million over faulty COVID gowns. Naomi Fullop is from the COVID-19 Bereaved Families for Justice.
Through the VIP lane, £3.8 billion was spent on unusable PPE. And what's really important is that that isn't allowed to happen again.
The pair, who are both Isle of Man residents, deny wrongdoing. The Isle of Man Chamber of Commerce says a sharp rise in the minimum wage could put small firms under unbearable strain.
It's not a sustainable rate anymore. It's just getting higher and higher and higher. You know, we need these decisions to be made more on reliable data rather than just consistently putting it up.
A 9.9% increase is set to be presented to Tynwald, despite inflation being at just 3.3%. And if all goes to plan, visitors to Craigneish Folk Village next spring will be able to see a rare craft being carried out. Harry Kelly's cottage, first opened to the public in 1938, is in need of urgent repairs to its thatched roof. In the latest international news, a judge says two Rochdale grooming gang victims were seriously let down by authorities. Seven men were handed a combined total of more than 170 years in prison for committing various sexual offences against them between 2001 and 2006. Both the Democrats and Republicans are blaming each other as the US government shutdown begins its first day. President Trump is threatening to lay off a lot of people after both parties couldn't agree a deal to extend federal funding. And Jude Bellingham's been named England's Player of the Year. The Real Madrid midfielder picks up the award, which is voted for by supporters. Those are the Update News headlines next at 6.
Thank you very much, Christian. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So cloudy with some light rain or drizzle developing at times this evening and overnight. There'll be fresh to strong southwest winds. Minimum overnight temperatures will be around 13. And then tomorrow there's the continued risk of rain or drizzle for much of the day. An area of more persistent rain, though, arriving late afternoon or early evening. That will clear overnight. Fresh to strong southerly winds. And then Friday, a dry and bright start, but an area of rain will soon move in from the west. That is going to be heavy and it's going to be really windy as well. Gale to severe gale force southwest winds developing later on the day in Friday. We will keep you up to date with what's happening nearer the time. Sunset this evening, 6:56. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 7:21.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
TE Cabin provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions and fire hearths. Visit us at Hope Street, Castletown or at Broadway Douglas or call 844-440. TE Cabin, here when you need us.
At Bond Fabrics, we're not just a fabric shop. As well as curtains and upholstery and dress and costume fabrics, we've knitting and crocheting wools, made-to-measure curtain and blind service, plus poles and tracks. Visit Strand Street, Douglas, call 611856 or see bondfabrics.in.
Most builders start with a hammer and saw. Manx Construction start with ideas and imagination. For new build, extension or home office, Manx Construction offer full service from planning to completion. Call Tony on 452 688.
If you have children, pets or a house, talk to Peace of Mind about a will or power of attorney, which will help family members when it matters. prices from £199 plus VAT. Find us on Facebook or call 632 610.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's exactly 5 past 5 and we heard this afternoon that the Isle of Man ferry terminal in Liverpool is going to be upgraded in the coming weeks. Now, the facility at Prince's Half Tide Dock opened its doors in June last year. It's estimated to have cost between £70 and £75 million. There hasn't been a final figure on that yet. Well, Siobhan is with me now. Siobhan, what do we know about this?
Well, the Department of Infrastructure says an installation at the facility has to be adjusted for operational reasons, but that work couldn't be carried out during the summer when the fast craft Mananan was docking at the terminal every day. We spoke to the Minister, Michelle Haywood, to find out what's been going on.
So we know we had problems last winter, and people will be aware there were a number of cancellations and changes to the schedule that the steam packet put out because there were problems getting in and mooring on the berth over low water. And it's to do with the position of the fenders on the mooring dolphin. We couldn't do any of that work across the summer because those fenders are used by Mananan, especially when she needs to come off the berth on a flood tide. So we've had to sit and wait until Mananan finishes doing her runs across, which will be October half term. And then we have work planned to address those issues so that Manxmen can use the berth sensibly over the winter.
That's the Infrastructure Minister, Dr. Michelle Haywood, who we spoke to a short time ago. We're going to be hearing much more from her tomorrow morning in our breakfast programme. Siobhan, she mentioned a mooring dolphin there as being the issue. What exactly is that?
So a dolphin fender is the other name for it. It's basically a protective cushioning device which is mounted on a marine structure to absorb the impact of a vessel during berthing or accidental collisions. They're used to protect structures from possible impact by ships, basically. You can see them down on the King Edward VIII Pier here in Douglas. The DOI says that the issue is that at lower tides, mooring lines are clashing with a dolphin fender in Liverpool, and that's what's been affecting both Manxman and the Ben McCree.
So then, who's going to be carrying out the work? And the biggest question of all, how much is this going to cost?
Well, the DOI says it's employing contractors in Merseyside to carry out the work, but in terms of a number, I can't give you one, as the DOI hasn't put a figure on it. It does say that it's hopeful that in the long term, the work will ensure fewer disruptions to the schedule, though, and a more robust connection between the island and Liverpool.
Well, speaking of disruption then, has the steam packet company said anything about this?
Yes, Beth. So the company has confirmed its schedule will see some alterations in light of the work. Mainly, sailings to and from Liverpool on the 1st and 2nd of November will now operate to Heysham. If you're heading there, there will be coach transfers to Liverpool Terminal laid on for affected passengers those 2 days. The company says it's in constant contact with the DOI in order to be able to implement the scheduled service as quickly as possible. Managing Director Brian Thompson added that we know this is frustrating and disappointing for passengers. However, by making limited changes to the schedule now, it's hoped that the necessary works can be undertaken to allow us to offer a comprehensive schedule of weekend sailings to Liverpool throughout the rest of the winter. All affected passengers will be contacted by the company's reservations team.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. So just a reminder, we're going to be hearing much more from the Infrastructure Minister, Dr. Michelle Haywood, on this story tomorrow morning in breakfast. It's quite a chunky interview, a lot of issues covered. And as you might imagine, lots of comments from you on our social media pages about this. So do head over there if you'd like to take a look at those. The full story on the Manx Radio website. 5:08. Now, a company linked to the Tory peer, Michelle Mohn, has been ordered to repay almost £122 million over a breached COVID PPE contract. Now, this is after millions of gowns delivered to the NHS during the pandemic had to be binned. In 2016, Baroness Mohn announced she was in a new relationship with Doug Barrowman, a billionaire businessman, and they settled here on the Isle of Man. She's now complained of a vendetta against her, while her husband says the High Court ruling is a travesty of justice. But the UK Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, today said she was pleased with the decision that had been made about repayment.
I've been very clear for a number of years that money belongs in our public services, and we have done everything in our power to get that money back. Even before this judgment today, we had managed to bring back £400 million of taxpayers' money. There's another £122 million today. And I want to be clear, anyone who got a government contract, either during COVID or at other times, where the contract has not been fulfilled, we will come after that money. That is taxpayers' money and it belongs in our public services. The government, and particularly the Department of Health and Social Care, will now work tirelessly to get that money back. I do think the fact that the company went into administration yesterday, the day before the High Court decision, acquisition tells you everything you need to know about the directors of that business. I would urge them now to do the right thing and to pay that money back. The former Conservative peer, Baroness Mohn, complaining about the establishment when she got this contract through the previous government's VIP fast lane, is a little bit rich. This is an independent decision from the High Court, and I'm pleased with their decision because they should never have got their hands on this money. During the pandemic, people made huge sacrifices, separated from their families and loved ones. And yet, at the same time, people like Michelle Mohn and her company, her husband's company, profiteered on the back of that misery. I'm pleased that now the High Court have made that decision. We can get that money back.
That's the UK Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, talking to Sky News. 5:10. Now, when Timwald resumes later this month, politicians are going to decide whether or not the island's minimum wage should be increased. At the start of this administration, government promised it would bring it in line with the living wage. So from April next year, the plan is to raise it from £12.25 an hour to £13.46. That's 28 pence short of the living wage. But some businesses have voiced their concerns about these changes, saying it could be the end of their company. Rebecca George is the CEO of the Isle of Man Chamber of Commerce.
We are in a really difficult predicament at the moment. A 9.9% increase is three times current inflation. What it does is it risks higher prices in businesses like retail, hospitality, and fewer jobs, because these businesses will not be able to sustain the employees that they have. So fair pay is really important, but the changes have got to be sustainable.
You started off by warning that it could lead to some job losses, closures, or even higher prices. Some might say that the same warnings surface whenever wages rise. What makes this time any different?
Minimum wage is just getting higher and higher. And as I've already said, you know, it's three times the rate of inflation. It's not a sustainable rate anymore. It's just getting higher and higher and higher. You know, we need these decisions to be made more on reliable data rather than just consistently putting it up.
That's CEO of the Isle of Man Chamber of Commerce, Rebecca George, talking to Christian. But for some, this move doesn't go far enough. The Liberal Vannon political party has always campaigned for the minimum wage to be equal to the living wage. And its chair, Paul Weatherall, told Amy he wants government to honour its commitment.
The Manx living wage for the current year is slightly above what the government are announcing for next April. So it's less than we would have hoped for.
I mean, Liberal it is only 28p difference.
But that makes a big difference to people who are on very low earnings. You know, that's an hourly rate. So if you add that up over 30 to 37 hour week and the number of weeks in the year that people are working, it makes a difference on an annual salary.
There are a lot of particularly small businesses, though, who are genuinely really concerned that this increase is going to collapse them.
Many businesses claim that, but they've known that the government were working towards this over the last 5 years. So any business worth their salt will have factored all of this in as part of their normal business planning. Obviously, some businesses want to keep wages as low as possible so that they make more profit, but I don't think it's government's job to help businesses survive on the back of people who are very low paid.
That's Liberal Vannon Chair Paul Weatherall. And both of those interviews are in full as a Manx newscast, which you can find at the Manx Radio website. 5:13. There's a new employment initiative aiming to retrain and reskill younger people on the Isle of Man who are unemployed because of mental health issues. Making Work Worthwhile targets individuals who are aged between 18 and 30 and who feel excluded but want to re-enter the workforce. Dr. Alex Allenson, the Treasury Minister, says while the island doesn't have a problem with youth unemployment, there is a cohort of people out of work because of mental health.
We're not talking about taking away benefits. Also on the Isle of Man, we don't have a significant problem with youth unemployment. We know that there are jobs out there. We know there's training there. Last week, we announced expanding apprenticeships on the Isle of Man to give those people the skills. But what we are aware of is a cohort of people between 18 and 30 who, for a range of reasons, particularly mental health reasons like depression and anxiety, have come out of work, are on incapacity benefits. And we know the longer they're on those benefits, the longer they're out of work, the harder it is to get back into work. So this is an attempt to get people who feel excluded back into work, back into society, but by doing it the right way, with a six-month program of training, of career assessment, of individual therapy and group therapies to help them overcome those barriers and actually get back into active employment and feel more better self-esteem and more worthwhile.
Now, looking at the latest unemployment figures, that age group is the highest in terms of unemployment, but there are still a significant amount of people out of work in the 40s and 50s and 60s bracket as well. Why not offer this to all ages?
What we're looking here is particularly those people who are out of work for particular reasons, such as mental health issues. And we know that seems to have been an increasing problem over the last couple of years. If we can get those younger people back into work, give them skills to do that, we can stop them going into long-term unemployment. But we've also got various schemes for those slightly older people in terms of reskilling, retraining, giving them the IT skills they may need. And what I would say is, if there's anyone who's listening who's been out of work for any long period of time, please go and have a chat with the employment team at Social Security. They can actually help you go back into the workplace, show you the range of jobs that are available out there, particularly in terms of hospitality and retail. We've also got a drop-in event tomorrow between 10 and 12 at Markwell House about the programme we're launching for younger people to support them overcome the difficulties they're having.
That's the Treasury Minister, Dr. Alex Allenson, talking about making work worthwhile. He was live on Breakfast this morning. That event tomorrow at Markwell House is on between 10 a.m. and midday.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Nothing to report on the police pages, which is good. There are temporary lights in the old Castletown Road near the Nunnery, 24 hours a day. In Braddon, still those temporary lights just up from Braddon Bridge. And in Santon, the Mount Murray Back Road is closed for the building of a concrete underpass. Mountain Road still closed from Brandywell to Craigna Bar. Down at the airport, a slight delay on the Gatwick flight. And then just looking at the steam packet, all okay today. The Manxman due into Douglas at around about 5:30. Heading out again at 7:15. The steam packet, though, is warning of possible disruption because of Storm Amy, which is set to hit this weekend. So they will be giving an update on that. And some of the sailings tomorrow are going slightly earlier because of the adverse weather that is forecast. So the Manxman sailing to Heysham in the morning will now be leaving at 8 a.m, coming back at 2:45.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
It is 5:17. The Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture says it's committed to ensuring people responsible for attacks on livestock are held to account. Now, this follows a reported dog attack on a sheep in Mackled, as Lewis Foster reports.
The incident was reported at the weekend by the General Secretary of the Manx National Farmers Union, Sarah Comish. In a post on social media, she expressed her frustration, saying it had happened in the same area as another attack earlier in the year by what's thought to be the same large dog. And she said, though the matter has been reported to the police, yet again there's little appetite to do anything to prevent or support. It's so frustrating, she said, that despite doing a huge amount of work at the Farmers Union with members and the Animals Health team to draft stronger legislation around protecting livestock from dog attacks, giving police and courts better power to investigate and prosecute those responsible, there's no political will from the Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister or any other minister to do anything about it. Well, Manx Radio went to the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture with those claims. In response, DEFA Minister Claire Barber says it's disturbing to hear of a further incident of livestock worrying. Such incidents are distressing for farmers and cause unnecessary and avoidable suffering to animals. The island does have legislation in place that provides powers for the police to investigate and take enforcement action, she says. However, ongoing conversations with the MNFU have led to my department committing in its department plan, published last week, to consult on the matter of sheep worrying. The minister says it's important that we are confident that we are doing all that we can to prevent and prosecute attacks of this nature. Protecting livestock is a shared responsibility, and we remain committed to working with the farming community, police and other partners to ensure those responsible for these attacks are held to account. Well, it has been confirmed to us that the Isle of Man Constabulary is aware of this matter and will investigate all reported instances in conjunction with other agencies. As for the fate of the sheep attacked in Mackled, Mrs. Comish has provided an update saying she's in and being sorted. The dog has attacked her face, but hopefully she will have no lasting damage.
Lewis Foster reporting. Now, a shellfish processing company has been fined £6,000 after accepting undersized lobsters which were caught in Manx waters. Island Shellfish Processing Limited, which is based in Port St Mary, was sentenced at Douglas Courthouse this week after previously admitting the offence. Siobhan Fletcher was there.
Fisheries officers from the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture found the animals after visiting the factory for a routine inspection on the 6th of February. They found 51 undersized crustaceans in a tank which specifically housed smaller lobsters, which were awaiting processing. The designated minimum landing size for European lobsters in Manx waters is 90 millimetres. The Isle of Man government website states that the limit is set to ensure that most lobsters have spawned at least once before they can be taken. It's perhaps the most important conservation measure that we have in place to protect our stocks. Any undersized lobster must be returned to the water immediately on capture and cannot be retained for measuring later. Of the 51 found in the tank, 4 were 86 millimetres, 16 were 87 millimetres, 20 were 88 millimetres and 11 were 89 millimetres. They were all successfully returned to the sea by fisheries officers. The court heard that Island Shellfish Processing Limited takes in the catches of three or four vessels and that the lobsters in question hadn't been measured yet. The company's advocate, Steve Wood, says that it's been a victim of both Brexit and the cost of living crisis as it's seen a marked drop in profitability. He told the court the company has been forced to lay off staff and as a result has lost the staff who would have been checking deliveries on the door. Instead, they're now accepted and measured at a later date when they are to be processed and packaged. Mr. Wood added, mistakenly perhaps, the business has put a high degree of trust in those fishermen catching the lobsters. We now have a local business that unfortunately is going to be closing its doors. Fining the company and ordering it to pay prosecution costs, Deputy High Bailiff Rachel Braidwood said the matter of catching undersized shellfish is taken very seriously. She said the issue has arisen because they were relying on fishermen to measure them, but the responsibility is on the company to check. The issue had arisen, she added, due to an error in processes.
Siobhan Fletcher reporting, 21 minutes past five. The leader of Douglas Council says it's vital that people step forward and fill the vacant seat on the local authority. Devon Watson believes the board needs community-minded people and wants to have a council that's reflective of the city's population. He's been talking to local Democracy reporter Emma Draper.
There is very little pay. You have quite a lot of responsibility. Your face is out in public. People get mad at you, but at the same time, it is probably one of the most meaningful things you'll ever do. You directly get involved with shaping how the city grows and develops. You have an influence over housing. You get a lot of voice to talk on issues that really matter to you. You get to help host events in the local community. You get to really invest in your local parks and your streetlights. And there's no better way of getting to know your community than being directly involved in governing it, which is why I think this is something that is open for people with a challenge and people are very community-minded. And Douglas only runs because of people like this, and we need more of them to step forward so we can have a competitive election in Douglas Central.
How important is it that somebody takes on the position?
It's vital. At the end of the day, if you don't run, someone else will end up governing for you. They'll make decisions on your behalf. I think another big thing to note is that the more people we have sort of stepping forward to fill these positions, the more likely we are to have a council that reflects the views of people on the ground. And sometimes there can be a disconnect, and sometimes we can have like a greater alignment by bringing in a diverse range of skills and talents. We need younger people to step forward. We need more people who are on the traditional demographic of a councillor. So I think that we want to have a council that is reflective of the people that we serve.
What kind of things do you do as a councillor that people considering standing should know?
We have a lot of civic events, a lot of civic engagement. We meet with a lot of people in the community. There's a lot of constituency work. So quite a few times a week, I'm chatting to people in the community, trying to find out how we can solve day-to-day problems. So I think that it's a mix of the hyper-local and also the broader, more strategic outlook. And you can really make as much or as little of the role as you want from it.
That's Douglas City Council leader Devon Watson. If this is for you, nomination papers are available to download from the Douglas Council website, or you can collect them in person from the City Hall. They must be sent back to the local authority before the 8th of October, so that's a week today. 24 minutes past five, and audiences at the Villa Gaiety are going to be asked to limit conversation during performances. Now, this comes after some people raised concerns over the amount of chatter during recent shows, as Sean Cowper reports.
Complaints were made last year by a number of those attending Paolo Nutini's set at the Royal Hall. Following that event, the venue appealed for people going to see Squeeze the following week to be considerate of both the performers and other audience members. But some have commented on social media since about the impact of those in the crowd talking during shows. Albury Castletown and Maloo MHK Jason Morehouse raised the issue in a Tynwald written question, asking the Education, Sport and Culture Minister what consideration is being given to resolving these concerns. In response, Daphne Kane says her department will be promoting audience awareness regarding the impact of conversations. This includes looking at introducing a sound recording to be played before the start of a live performance to remind those in attendance to limit their conversations. More security staff will also be on duty for high-capacity events to help mitigate such instances, while the sound system will be carefully monitored for quality and safe volume levels. Minister Kane says feedback from audiences is monitored, and it's hoped these planned changes will have a positive impact.
That is Sian Cowper reporting on the measures that are going to be introduced to hopefully limit conversation at the Villa Marina and Gaiety Theatre. Again, lots of comments from you on this on social media. Just gone 25 past five. Let's join Rob now for the latest sports news. Fastamai.
Starting off in motorsport, Manx Trials star Caitlin Adsett has finished second in this year's Trial GP Women's Championship. The Ireland rider finished first in the final two rounds to end the campaign on 134 points. She was only bested by Great Britain teammate Alice Minter, who took the title on 154 points. Whilst completing the top three in third was Alicia Robinson. Also in motorsport, it's been announced John McGuinness will make a return to the Pirelli National Superstock Series this coming weekend. The 23-time TT winner will pilot a Honda factory-supported machine for this weekend's 10th round at Alton Park from the 3rd to the 5th of October. Well, McGuinness hasn't featured in the championship since July, when he set a personal best time at round 6 in Brands Hatch and got points on the board for the Honda team. Elsewhere, his Honda Racing TT teammate Dean Harrison will be stepping into the British Superbike Championship at the same circuit this weekend, stepping in for the injured Andrew Irwin. Manx amputee footballers Sean Jackson and Everton have successfully defended the IKOEAFA Football League title for 2025. The former Ireland athlete and the Merseyside club retained the silverware with two key victories on the final day of the campaign at Reesheath College in Northwich on Saturday the 27th of September. The first of those wins against title contenders Portsmouth secured the trophy for Everton before they followed that up with a further victory against Newcastle and then a defeat to Chelsea. Furthermore, the England Amputee Football Association has confirmed Everton's championship winning display saw them qualify for the Champions League next season. And staying with football, one of FC Isle of Man's away league fixtures this month has been brought forward by nearly 2 weeks. The Manx club has confirmed its trip to Lidl and Remica in the NWCFL Premier Division has been given a new date of Saturday the 11th of October, with kick-off at Lidl and Sports Park scheduled for 3 p.m. The tie had previously been due to take place on Wednesday the 22nd of October. Both clubs have already met so far this campaign on the opening day on Saturday the 26th of July, which ended in a 0-0 draw at the Bowl in Douglas. Separately, the Ireland side's next match is this Saturday the 4th of October at home against Barnoldswick Town, kicking off that evening at 6 p.m.
Thank you very much indeed, Rob. So we've just got the BBC News on here in the studio and just looking at the potential weather disruption that is heading our way over the weekend. Storm Amy, which has caused some merriment, obviously, in the newsroom, as we do have an Amy in the newsroom who actually, incidentally, will be on duty this weekend. So we will be keeping an eye on possible disruption that could be heading our way because of that. We'll keep you up to date over that next couple of days. But that is all from Update this evening. Coming up next on Manx Radio, it's Spotlight with Howard Kane, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council. Then Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley from 6 p.m. At 9, it's Country Roads with Andy Wint before Dave is here with After Hours for you from 10. So whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.